grease, steel, cracked iron, and bayou grass. Sun's heading creekside, days fading fast. Are you really digging for peace, or is that just a lie you tell to help you sleep? Sure that
Welcome
you really want.
Presumably, still y'all. All are welcome here in the Church of Internal Combustion. We just ask that you show up with an open heart. It's been a troublesome week out there in the world. Tempers are high. Division fighting for every opportunity it can find to split us all farther. Folks saying careless and hateful things out of anger, friendships being torn asunder. The world can be heavy sometimes. That ain't what the Wrecking Yard is for, though. This is a place for us to get away from the noise. Sometimes the best cure for the noise of the world is to make your own noise. So that's what we do. We make laughter. We tell stories. Hell, most of the fellas I've been friends with in my life will tell you that the best cure for the noise of the world is the noise of chainsaws, V8s, power tools. Hell, even the sound of a clutch giving up the ghost and scattering under pressure can even clear your mind of other concerns in the right moment. I made a little noise this week about this dad-blasted Cadillac paperweight I own. Didn't expect that video to go viral so quickly, but I guess a lot of folks relate. Honestly, didn't expect an easy ride when I bought that thing. I figured I had to put some money in it, and I knew about the 3.6 problems, you know? But even with a 3.6 timing chain problem, those are all fixable problems for a handy fella. And it honestly, it don't get driven that many miles. I figured 130,000 mile drivetrain failure would be about when we were ready to retire it and replace it. Either way, no how. I mean, planned obsolescence has been a part of the automotive industry since most of us were just a spare thought. But I felt like there was a balance. We expected a little of it from them, and we'd bitch over the years, and they'd rein it in some. I don't even mind complicated problems. I really don't. But parts availability on a less than 15-year-old car is not the kind of problem you can just fix. I got excited when the video went viral because people started sending me links, and every time I'd get to the end of that link, get ready to check out, it's out of stock or it's the wrong part number. I don't expect anyone to stock trim parts for a car that old, but a freaking module that runs the entire ABS system, that should exist somewhere and not for some ridiculous price. Not on something that was a $400 part brand new. And even after you buy the part, you have to go pay somebody to flash the thing in. So, but even still, you go out to those places that are offering them for $1,500 and $1,800, go try to check out. When you get down to the checkout, they can't provide you that part. That daggum Mazda sitting in my driveway is the same age as that Cadillac. Same age, 2012 Mazda 3, 2012 Cadillac SRX. There ain't a part on that son of a 50 car I can't find for it. Hell, I'm half convinced I could build a 2012 Mazda 3 from scratch in my driveway with Amazon and Rock Auto. Oh, I gave up hope at some point. I'm gonna figure this thing out, but boy, I'm frustrated as piss with it. One lady messaged me to tell me that I should check the internet, because that's where her husband finds parts, hard to find parts. And after that message, I quit reading messages off that video. Just check the internet. That's where the parts are. Duh. Go to the internet. You didn't look for a part for 3 months. You didn't think to look on the interwebs? Just go to the internet. Anyways, the search continues for the mysterious EBCM. I'm about ready to just take some 50 apart and try to resolder it myself, if that's even the problem. But if you know someone with a 2012 Cadillac SRX with a Gort 3.6, give me a holler. I'd like to buy the windshield washer reservoir and the EBCM off of it. Maybe a hubcap cover and front CV shafts. I got a whole list. Just holler at me. I'm going to tell you a story today that you've heard bits and pieces of. It's got some funny, because damn if we don't need some right now. Most stories got an asshole, and surprisingly, even to me, it's not me this time. I mean, well, mostly. I certainly could have behaved better, but we'll just chalk that up to the folly of youth. Not sure how old I was then, 2002. Man, I'm going to do math. Let's see. Yeah. 97, I was 20, and then 2007, I'd have been 30, so. Shit, I'm bad at math. Somewhere in my 20s, early 20s. We'll call it early 20s. Oh, man, I know. I was probably about 26. 20, 'cause this is the year before. Well, this is like 2 years before I started comedy. So I was 25. I was 25 years old. It doesn't matter. I'm wasting too much time on that. By July of 2002... I just started dating this gal named Wendy. Y'all have heard me talk about her. It wasn't deeply serious yet. It was a brand new thing. But we were spending a lot of time together. I was still working for Testmasters over there doing NDT, mostly X-ray. I was over there primarily doing X-ray. And my brother Joey and I were roommates, and we had this cool little apartment over in Easton Common Village condominiums over there off Jackrabbit Road and 290. Joey worked at Daniel Valve, which was formerly M&J Valve. It was a big valve company there that my dad worked for. And that little testing place I worked for was right over there off Tanner, in that same area, if you're familiar with the area, Tanner and Britmore area. We had a slick little pad, man. Our little roommate special we had. It was, I don't know, it was maybe 700, 600 square foot, but it was, it had a garage, a downstairs garage. And then you went upstairs. We were on the second floor, but you went up there and you walked into the living room. And then you could go off to the left and you go to Joey's bedroom, and it had its own bathroom. And then if you just kept going straight to the living room, you'd go to my bedroom, which had its own bathroom. And then it's like a little bitty old kitchenette. It's a little tiny old kitchenette. I might have trouble fitting in that Sun 50 now. A little bitty kitchen. Not that we used it much except for mixing drinks, I think. I don't remember doing a mess of cooking in there. That's not true. Wendy made a whole lot of fudge in there one time to give out for Christmas gifts. She made all this fudge and put it in all these packages. And she had this little wiener dog named Bixby or Bosco or some one of those wiener dog names. And Bosco got into the fudge and ate 2 pounds of fudge. And somehow shit 10 pounds of fudge all over the apartment while we were at some sort of social function. Then we had to rush Bosco to the vet. I don't remember what they had to do to fix him, but he was a little jacked up for a little while. It was a lot of fudge for a little bitty old dog. But it was a slick little pad, I was thinking when I wrote this, Joey had his Jetta still, but I really think he had that little 94 Ranger. He had this little Ford Ranger, four banger, five speed, just perfect little pickup, you know. And I had just very recently bought that 94 F-150 XLT that I bought from a tote to note lot that I've told y'all about. Oh, Aaron knows. But things was humming along. Joey's job was good. He'd been promoted to running the calibration department. And Mark had bumped my pay, and I was working with my buddy Dennis Dornbush, who was kind of cantankerous, but a good dude to work with nonetheless. And we were working out at PK Industries all the time, which was a pretty solid account. And I had kind of got the lay of the land out there. You work in the same place doing NDT for any period of time, you kind of figure out you're just getting the same kind of parts to X-ray. And so you set up things to make that job easier and faster, and for too much longer, there's not much work to it anymore outside of just setting the shots up and doing it, you know? Dennis was kind of a riot, man. He'd say he'd be a cranky old dude, but he was funny, man. He was from Oregon. One time Dennis was driving us down the road in the darkroom rig, and I was over there in the passenger seat. Dennis loves scratchers. Every time, we'd stop at a store on the way to the job site, Dennis would buy some scratchers, and then scratch them furiously in the darkroom while I was out shooting, which sounds like a euphemism, but let's just all hope it ain't. And then on the way back to the shop, boy, he had to stop at another gas station and exchange the scratchers he won on and get him some more scratchers. Dennis loved the scratchers. And he always had his glasses up on top of his head like this, kind of like an old car salesman, you know. And he'd pull them down to read that film, and then they were back up here all the time when he's talking to you. He's driving down the road, and he's jacking with these scratchers, but I know he can't see them because he ain't got his glasses on. And he's trying to read the scratcher, and he weaves out into the other lane of traffic. Me being the young, impetuous sidekick, I go, "Hey, man, can you keep it one lane?" And he goes, "Hell no, I pay taxes on both these sumbitches. I'll drive them both up if I want to." And it made me laugh. I still laugh every time I think about it. It reminded me of my Uncle Bobby. Dude was just kind of a riot. He was fun. He was sober. He had been an alcoholic earlier in his life. He was an AA guy. He had been sober for a long time, 12, 15 years, something like that at that point. Maybe 20, I don't know. But we get back to shop usually on Friday, Saturday night, and guys all want to sit in the shop and drink some beer. Somebody run over to the local gas station, get a 30 pack, and we'd all sit around and tell some lies, drink some beer before we go off to pursue our Friday night, Saturday, whatever day it was. They'd always try to get, every time, "Boy, Dennis, you don't want beer or nothing?" And he'd say the same thing every time. "Boy, if I break my sobriety, it's not going to be hang out with a bunch of losers like you." I got a better class of losers I won't get drunk with if I ever decide to break it. Wendy had a big, kind of a big family. I don't remember the exact breakdown of the tree, but she had a younger sister and Kaylee or Casey or I think it was Kaylee. I don't remember, to be honest with you. It's all been so long ago. And her mom, I met her dad a couple times. I can't remember. He was a big old dude, but I can't remember much about him. He was nice enough. Her mom was a lot. I think her name was Candy, and she was Candace Candy. She was a lot. But her mom was married to this old dude, and he was just about the coolest old man ever met. Like, if you just like saw this dude walking down the street, you would think, oh, he probably grew up in Beaumont, Texas. Like, he just kind of had that look about him. Old scruffy work shirt, work pants, whatever. But he had a heart condition. He had a heart condition, and they had put this kind of pacemaker in him, or defib, or whatever it's called. I don't know. You know, I never had to mess with it. But they put some kind of device in him that if his heart stopped working, that device would shock the piss out of him. But he told me it didn't feel like a shock. He said it felt like he was getting kicked by a mule right in the chest every time it happened. And it happened a lot because the old dude wouldn't listen to nobody and never quit working or nothing. I don't remember the circumstance, but for whatever reason, one day Wendy asked me to run out there and check on him because a neighbor had told her mom or something that he was out there trying to mow the lawn. And he had this riding mower, and they had this decent-sized piece of property kind of out in the sticks. And I drove out there. While I pulled in the driveway, he was, sure enough, he's out there on that lawnmower. It was 100 degrees outside. And I waved at him. He waved me off. You know, old man, don't want nobody else telling him how to do nothing. Waved at him again. He waved me off again. So I just sat there in the truck in the air conditioner and watched him because, by God, if he wasn't going to come over there and talk to me, I'd just wait till he get done and keep an eye on him. Boy, all of a sudden, he stood upright on that mower and fell down on the ground with his legs straight up in the air. Oh, got a hair over here messing with me. Got it. Legs straight up in the air like a cartoon character. Hollered out a curse word. Got up. I went over. I said, hey, Bubba, you know, won't you let me finish the yard for you? No, I'm going to get this yard done today. And he wasn't going to have it. I said, man, I said, the thing already kicked you in the chest once. Just go sit on the porch, drink some cool water. I'll finish this part. And then if you're feeling better, you can finish the rest of it, you know? Well, I get on that mower, and he stands out there the whole time while I finish that yard and tells me every way I'm doing it wrong, which was apparently a lot of ways. I wasn't doing the laps right, and it was funny, but he was good. I always liked him. He was a good hand, good old dude. She had an older brother. I don't remember how much older he was than her, but he seemed a little older than us. He was already married, kind of had a family of his own, already had some kids. I can't remember what his name is either. Martin something. He kind of looked like a Martin. We'll just call him Martin for the sake of the story. And they had a big, like, tradition that they did every year. They had a... Here in Texas, there's a river called the Como River. And it runs kind of down close to New Braunfels over in Hill Country. And it's been a popular spot for God knows how many years for people to go get in inner tubes and ride down the river and get drunk. People go out to Como River and go tubing. Now, I hadn't been there in so many years, I can't imagine what it looks like now. I looked up pictures, it looked like it had sidewalks and shit by the river. But then, yeah, it used to just be a river. And now there's a bunch of houses on it and stuff. Back in, wasn't a bunch of people living on it. It was just a river. And there was all kind of campsites. And there was good campsites and less good campsites. And her family did this tradition every year where they would rent this same campsite and had a parking spot for their RV. They had a big old RV. And everybody would go out there and have a good time in the beginning of July. They had some weird thing. They every year, like when they went and used the campsite, they'd have to go ahead and reserve it for the next year because otherwise there's like a really long waiting list. So they would just go ahead and pay the money every year to go ahead and reserve it for the next year. It was a really good spot. It was right on the river. It was space for, you know, five or six tents, a little cooking area, picnic table, that kind of thing, and easy access to the water. And the river kind of run through some, it wasn't shallow, it was about, I'd say, chest deep, you know, most of it in that area. But there were parts where you could stand on where you, you know, it's a river, it's uneven. There's some big rocks out in the middle of it. Really pretty, really clear river, really cold, usually really cold. It's where the drinking comes in. Warm your body up enough to handle that cold. Now, I've been going the Como River at that point most of my life. My birthday is July 8th, and a lot of times we would all go out there to the river pretty close to my birthday because it would be the week after the 4th, and all the hubbub had died down and the crowds were gone. But I had been going there since I was like, I think first time I went there, I was about 8 or 9 years old with the Bible quiz team. We went and we floated the river as a little group activity, and wasn't no drinking then that I know of. Somebody told me a funny joke the other day. What was it? It was, if you take a Baptist guy fishing, how do you keep him from drinking all your beer? By inviting another Baptist guy to go with y'all. That tickled me. Anyways, that's a stupid joke. Somebody told me that after a show the other day. It made me giggle, though. But Como's kind of a, I mean, y'all might have something like that in the state. I know Washington has some rivers they do that, and Kentucky has some rivers they do that at, and clearly Tennessee, but, you know, I don't know all of them. You might have something like that you go do near you. But it's kind of a Texas tradition, or it was for a long time. It was a big deal. And it was always wild going out there in the summer because you'd run into your friends from school and all kind of shit. You know, you'd run into people from A-Leaf out there. And, I mean, not if you saw them first, you know, but you'd run into them. And there'd be college kids from all the big Texas State Union, from Tech and from A&M and a shit ton of them from the UT. And it was always a good time, you know. We went there many times as single young men in hopes of catching the eyes of possibly a bored college girl. Don't remember it ever working out, to be honest with you. Sorry, that story's a little bit of a letdown. Many attempts to no avail. Anyway, her brother Martin would go down there and park the RV, and they would hang out for 3 or 4 days, some kind of shit like that. Usually till the 4th, I think, you know, depending on the year and where the 4th fell in the weekend, that sort of thing. But that was like their big getaway every year. So they went and did that. And it was a big family event. And Wendy would invite her friends and such. And we weren't that serious yet, but she's like, why don't you come out and why don't you and Joey come out? Come be a part of this, man. Y'all got anything going on this weekend? And, you know, Mark was cool enough to let me off work for the weekend. And Joey was able to get off work. We said, man, hell, we'll make a trip of it. We'll pile up in that F-150 and run out there. Go have us a good old time. We might have went in Joey's Ranger. I think we might have went in the Ranger just to get better gas mileage. Wendy was taking her pickup out there because she was carrying her and her sister. And she had also invited her friends. She had a friend, some friends that were a couple, Christian and Allison, and she had invited them to come out. So I think she had all their tents and stuff. We're going to meet her out there. And you know, back in those days, me and Joey took a road trip as an opportunity for a few road sodas on the way. I mean, you want to pre-prime a little bit. You want to get the campsite sober. We had us a few road sodas on the way out there and feeling pretty good. Got out there, got met up with everybody and had a few more drinks and then had to set up the tents. And boy, that's another little piece of advice right there. Never start drinking before the tent is set up. There's no way that goes well. Just don't do it. Before you pop anything, before you eat anything, before you put any alcohol down your throat, make sure that damn tent's set up. And then you got a place to land. Because camping drinking's different than, you know, regular drinking. Regular drinking, there's rules and, you know, decorum and such. Camping drinking, all bets are off. There's no such thing as 5 o'clock. You wake up more, you get into it, start having yourself a good time. It's one of those situations where, at least the way we treated it back in them days, was you can't drink all day if you don't get started early. We also meet her little, she had a younger brother who was like 19, I think, 18 or 19. His name was Cody, and that kid was cool as shit. He was obsessed with Family Guy and did a lot of Family Guy voices. And but just a good, he was just a likable kid, kind of country boy. Just good dude, you know. Just instantly liked him first time I met him, which was right there on that campsite. And I already knew her sister Kaylee or, man, I can't remember what they, we'll just call her Kaylee. I already knew Kaylee. And she had brought a friend with her and they were getting their tent set up. And I already knew Christian and Allison. I'd hung out with them a couple times. But Christian was, so Allison was from Houston, I think. Allison's who turned me on to Blue October, man. Allison was a big Blue October fan. And she was always trying to get us to listen to them. And I ended up actually, they're one of my favorite bands of all time. But her dude, Christian, he was like a real serious guy, man. Kind of, he was not like a big build dude. He was kind of wiry. He was a car guy. I think he was like big into body work and stuff. But he had come from Los Angeles. He was, part Hispanic. And he had come from Los Angeles and he worked in the car scene all out there. And he was kind of making his way in the Houston car scene and building stuff. And he was a cool dude, but he was just real serious. He was a little older than us and he was just real serious. And you could tell he may have had a little rougher life than some of us. He didn't goof off a lot. Like, you know, I don't remember really seeing this dude laugh a lot, you know, ever. Like, just kind of like, ha ha, but then he would get back serious, you know. Also, who arrived on this trip was Wendy's ex-boyfriend, who is still, I guess, because they all grew up together, like a family friend, I guess. But he has brought a date with him to his ex-girlfriend's family camping trip, which seems like a normal thing to do, I guess, if you're a psychopath. I don't know. It seems weird to me. I mean, I can see going to hang out with somebody's family. I don't think I would take a date. But maybe it's, I was taught different decorum growing up, you know. He's a Jason, maybe. One of those asshole J names. Jason, Jerry, or Jeremy. Hell, I mean. If they make it to adulthood, they usually turn out fine. But between the ages of 18 and 28, avoid Jasons, Jeremys, and Jerrys. Okay? Just let them get through that little phase. Then once they get through that phase, they're usually all right. But if they don't make it through that phase, you know, it's a rough phase for Jason, Jeremys, and Jerrys. I think it's Friday. We get out there. The 4th is coming on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. They're planning on staying. Me and Joey was going to go home Monday because we both got to work. We have us a merry time at night out there by the river. We bust into the drinks. We start drinking and partying, and they're letting their little brother drink, so I suppose that's okay with them, you know. But, shit, I was having some drinks when I was 19, 22, and they're keeping an eye on the kid. Good older siblings looking out for him. But we're all having a good time. We have a good time that night. We all hang out. We do some shots and drinks and all that good stuff. And good camping drinking. Party well into the night before splitting off to our tents. And her brother and his wife were staying in the RV. And they bust off to the RV. Well, you talk about hungover that next morning. Whoo, son. And she's up at 8 o'clock, man. She's ready to go tubing, man. Everybody's wanting to go out and do something. But she's kind of like the mother hen of the bunch. So she's trying to straighten her sister out and her younger brother out. And her older brother are bickering. And I'm just kind of hanging out with Joey. We already done got into the cold beer. I was beer drinker back in them days. We done got off in cold beer. We was trying to fix, you know, hair of the dog. Hair of the dog that bit us. And her sister Kaylee and her friend, they're already off over there in the water. And they're, Kaylee's kind of short, so she's off in the water. They're like chest deep in the water. And there's something going on over there. They're cutting up and laughing. And the ex-dude, Jason, me, Christian, Allison, Joey are all sitting around the picnic table. Me and Joey nursing beers already. Cody's excited to have him a beer. He's feeling grown up. Wendy and her older brother are bickering about this and that over at the RV and who's in charge, that type of shit. They did a lot of that. There's something going on over there. So the ex-Jason, I don't know where his gal pal is at the moment. She might still be in the tent. We didn't really see much of her that whole weekend. Just every once in a while, we'd see her come out of the tent and, you know, she'd come out. They went and tubed with us one day. Anyways, I don't know where she was. It don't matter. All that matters, he's over there and he's cutting up with Kaylee and her friend. And he's standing on the shore. And I can't see what he's doing, but I hear a big splash every once in a while. And then them yelling at him and yada, yada, yada. You know the way people behave. Well, what he's doing, we look over there and see what he's doing. What he's doing is he's picking up rocks, these big old flat rocks off the riverbank. And he's plopping them out there in the water close to him. Throwing them out in their water close to him and splashing them with these rocks. Which when you mix alcohol in that, doesn't sound like a good idea. Doesn't sound like a good idea. And they're cutting up. They're all laughing. They're having a good time. Like nobody's being attacked. But he takes this big old flat rock and he heaves it out there in the river. And I remember seeing that rock skip off the surface of that river and hit Kaylee right in the face. I mean, just brap. And she goes back. It made the worst sound. I mean, just, it was like a crunch and a all at the same time. You're like, have you ever hit a watermelon with a baseball bat? I have. It's a lot of fun. But it makes kind of a gross noise. And it was, I mean, it was like Gallagher level noise. It was, we heard it above the music, the drinking, people hollering up and down the river. I mean, there's people tubing by and stuff. She goes back immediately. Blood is flowing out of her face into the river. We're freaking out. Christian, me, and Joey, an old boy, run off, get her out of the water, get her up on the ground. Of course, Wendy and Jeremy, everybody's hollering, yelling. Some of them are yelling at the dude, like, what shit were you doing? Everything. And this, I'll never forget this dude. He was just kind of standing there with his hands. They done called 911. I mean, it's bad, dude. This girl's bleeding. It's bad. We're all worried about it. They didn't call 911. There's a sheriff on a damn four-wheeler hauling ass down there. And they're prepared for these kind of accidents out there, or at least they used to be back in the day. I don't want to speak on how it is now. You go out there and get some dumb shit and be mad at me. But they used to be prepared. Boy, it ain't long, but here come an ambulance. You know, here comes the ambulance running down the road, and they're trying to hold her face and everything. It's, their stuff broke, you know. And her face is swelling up, and they're trying to keep her conscious. And I just, we were looking over, this dude just standing there with his hands in there. It was just, you know, like, he kept saying, I didn't know it was going to bounce. I didn't know it was going to skip like that. Like, him being surprised about that rock, I mean, I know it was a big rock, but him being surprised about that rock skipping was like the thing I could never forget. Like, that was the dumbest thing on the planet to me. Like, the only two things you ever hear people skip is rope and rocks. Like, of course, a big old flat rock skipped off the surface. Why are you throwing giant rocks by people's heads? They get her stable, get her in the ambulance. Christian goes nuts on that dude, on Jason. And none of us was going to stop him, you know? Wendy jumped over there, got in the middle. We were just going to let Christian do it, you know? Christian went nuts on that dude. And Wendy's hollering, it's an accident, it's an accident. We all kind of get them apart. We went and helped get Christian away from guy. Christian just wanted to tear that dude pieces. And I don't blame him, you know? I was still just kind of in shock at what the hell had just transpired. Winnie and her brother get in her truck and tell us to stay there. She goes, just stay here, okay? Just kind of watch out for Cody. Stay here. Y'all hang out, enjoy yourselves the best you can. We'll update you as soon as we know anything. And they followed the ambulance into town. Little Cody, boy, he's already over there drinking. He heard stay here and enjoy yourself. And though he was concerned about his sister, he was also concerned about his vacation, his first kind of grown-up vacation. Oh, boy, he leaves. Oh, Jason, he leaves. We assume, go to the hospital, you know, pay some attention, try to see if he can be of service. Damage. I know it was an accident. I know it was an accident. I know the dude didn't maliciously do this to this girl. It was an accident. It was a dumb, stupid accident occurring from alcohol and poor choices. It was just an accident. It's a dumb accident, but an accident nonetheless. The guy wasn't out to hurt these girls. So he leaves. Which is fine with us. Helps the vibe a little. And we go, we don't do any tubing that day, but we hang out in the river and wait for updates and every once in a while. But that's back, you had to get out of the river and go check your phone every once in a while. You know, we didn't have all these waterproof phones and what have you. I had my cigarettes in a Ziploc bag, I remember. We just stand out there in that cold river, and we drink some cold beer, and we do some shots of tequila, and talk to all the people coming by on the tubes and stuff, and occasionally throw somebody a beer, that kind of stuff, and have a good time, keep the music going, cook us some burgers and shit like that, you know, throw some meat on the grill. Christian made some badass chicken at some point, maybe later on that evening. And we're getting updates, you know, every once in a while, but it's pretty serious. She's, you know, they know that she's going to need reconstructive surgery. Like, there's bones broken, or her cheekbones broke, and all kinds of, like, it's a big rock. Did a lot of damage. And moving at a pretty good speed when it clocked her. We're getting close to dark, and that dude, Jason, comes back to the campsite. Apparently, they told him they didn't want him at the hospital or something along those lines, or, you know, maybe you should leave before my dad gets here, that type of situation. But staying there like a man, taking ownership, I guess he took that as come back to the campsite and enjoy camping. It's like, I don't know. That was the weirdest thing. We figured he was coming back to pack up his shit and leave, you know, like a normal person would after you've maimed someone's family member, however accidental it was. I mean, Kaylee's jacked up. Her face is jacked up. Like, she's got serious injuries. Like, they called Red Duke in on the case, is how jacked up she is. You probably, if you're from somewhere else, you're not going to know this maybe, but Dr. Red Duke was a little bit of a Texas hero. Dr. Red Duke was a head surgeon down at the medical center for a long time, and I think he may have been her, whoever over all the health in Texas is. I don't remember 100%. But you saw him on TV all the time. He's wildly famous. He was a fourth-year surgery resident at Parkland Hospital the day President John F. Kennedy and Texas Governor Colin Connolly were shot and rushed to that hospital. And up on their arrival, Duke said it didn't take him long to appreciate the gravity of the situation. And when asked what he could do for JFK, he said, "I cannot do much for this man. He's already dead." But he's credited with saving the life of Governor Connolly that day. He's a Texas hero. He's inducted in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. Personally saved one of my other friends' life much later on in life after she was in a really bad car accident. He was just, everybody loved Red Duke. Dr. Red Duke was a hero, especially here in Houston. But they're calling Red Duke in on the case. But what do you want us to do? You want us to pack everything up? What can we do? She said, "No, we already got the camp. Y'all stay, enjoy the campsite. Just make sure her little brother has a good time. And we're also tasked with making sure Christian doesn't drown this other dude." And she can't even believe he's staying either. She's like, I don't know. I just don't have the energy. I was like, no, I get it. We'll keep old boy in check. We'll shun him or whatever until he leaves. And we did. We shunned the shit out of him. We didn't really want shit to do with the dude. Mainly because every time Christian looked at him, we were worried Christian was going to go attack his ass. And you won't be, "Hey, Sebastian, what's up, buddy? Shit, I ain't seen you in a minute." Anyways. She wants to stay and enjoy the campsite, which is a weird position to be put in, but we're not all super, you know. I just started dating this girl. These people are not like my family. I don't know. I'm, of course, compassionate. I never want to see anybody hurt. I'm soft-hearted as shit, okay? I don't like seeing people get hurt. I don't like seeing anything like that, even if I don't know the person, or even if I don't like the person. I'm not built like that. I don't have that thing in me. And I'm glad. It's a little somber that night, but we decided the next day that we get up, we're going to take Cody tubing. I got Cody. All Cody's been talking about is going tubing. They brought their own inner tubes. And the way they do these inner tubes, they take these inner tubes, they put like a plastic panel under there and strap them to the inner tubes. Back then, it was just a piece of plywood. They strap this piece of plywood, this inner tube. "Hey, buddy, you coming to see me?" "Oh, you messing with the tractor." So they had brought their own tubes. They were serious tubers. we proceed to have a good time. Of course, load up our little cooler with some cold beer and a bottle of tequila. Back then, they'd have these little, look like little old school buses come down the road, and they'd pick you up, and they'd take you into the drop-in point up at the top of the river. And then you could tube right back down to your campsite, or you could go the whole length if you wanted, and they had a little bus that bring you back from there sometimes. Or sometimes you just get down there too late and have to walk a mile back to your campsite or whatever it was. Spent many times giving myself a swimsuit rash in my nether regions. You all right over there, bub? Spent many time giving myself a rash over there in my nether regions from a wet swimsuit carrying an inner tube walking down the road because we missed the last bus back to the campsite or something like that. And when I was younger, we never had them nice campsites on the river. Our campsite was always way off in the woods somewhere. And we couldn't afford them high dollar campsites right there on the river. People had a little bit of money in their pocket. Take Cody, of course, Christian, Allison come with us, and we leave old dude and his girl there. We don't even tell them we're going. We go up to the drop-in point, get in. I'm manning the cooler because Joey needs to be free to pursue ladies, right? All right, got a gal. I got the cooler tied to my inner tube, but the cooler's also got my little bag in there and my cigarettes. You know, so I got a close eye on the cooler. We go tubing, boy. Having us a good old time, boy. Just be bopping down that river. That river's cold, nice. I mean, I don't even know how cold that river gets, but boy, it'll ice your balls. You know, just having a good old time. And something about hanging out in cold water like that, boy, you can just keep on drinking that beer. You don't even care if that beer's cold no more. You just keep on drinking it. Every time you pee, it warms up your inner tube a little bit. It's a good time. We ran across this crew of folks. They had all their tubes linked together, and they had a bunch of Jell-O shots in the cooler, and they started throwing us Jell-O shots. And that was a little bit of a tradition. You'd see it from time to time, but we weren't keeping a good enough eye on Cody, though, because unbeknownst to us, Cody scores him a whole mess of Jell-O shots from these people. And they're telling him, hand them out. Well, Cody don't hand them out. Cody just proceeds to go through Jell-O shots while we're going down the river. We didn't know it because he went through them so quick. But all of a sudden, Cody was a little bit of a mess. We tried to figure out. We figured he'd had about 10 or 9 or 10 of them. We're like, good Lord. By the time we get back down to our campsite, it starts pouring down rain, right? Just one of those Texas gully washers, just out of nowhere, storm clouds, blah, pouring down rain. We're already soaking wet. We've been in the river. We don't give a shit. We go hang out at the picnic table, keep drinking. We're hammered past the point of delirium at that point. And we enjoy a little, like, worry because we didn't let this, kid get hammered. We didn't realize what he was doing. Christian didn't drink. Christian was sober. So Christian was giving us a little grief about letting old Cody get off in his cups like he did. But, I mean, we didn't know that's what was about to happen. You know, wasn't either one of us parents, anything like that. At some point, Cody passes out in a lawn chair. We just decide to leave him there because he's safe. It's one of them kind of stretch out lounger lawn chairs, and he's snoring and happy, and we can hear him snoring. We know he's all right. Still pouring down rain, but he seems happy, so we just leave him be. I don't even think we ate that night because, it was just pouring down rain. We couldn't do anything. One of the last things I remember about that night is Joey was just shit house, standing on that picnic table in the rain with his shirt off, hollering, "I am the Lizard King." You know, kind of drunk you get when you're that young. If I did that now, I'd be out of commission for a month. I wouldn't be able to walk for 3 days, probably. Next morning, Cody hadn't slept in a lawn chair all night. I come out of my tent in the morning and get an update from Wendy about what's going on with Kay. They're going to transfer her to the Houston Medical Center, and they're just waiting to get all, they're going to lifelight her. So they're waiting to get all that lined up. And it's a lot of work. You know, we've talked, it's a lot of work to line up a lifelight flight, but that's what they're going to do with her. And so we're kind of waiting to hear when all that's going to go down. And we get up, we're milling around. I know we didn't eat that night because the first thing we was doing, we was throwing meat on the grill. We was cooking. And Cody has woken up to the worst, probably the worst hangover he's ever had in his life at the tender age of 19. But he's done run off in the bushes a couple times and hooked up stuff. And truth be known, we're all pretty hungover. I mean, none of us are feeling sprightly, you know. We're just trying to get some food in us, maybe another beer, and see what that feels like. Christian and Allison hanging around the table. I think Christian was cooking and Joey was standing over there drinking a beer. Joey had been talking to Christian. And old boy's tent was like off to the right of where we were cooking. He was kind of like in another little tent spot when there were some bushes in between us. But we hear a bunch of racket. We hear a bunch of racket out of old Jason's tent, boy. A bunch of hollering. That old girl comes running out of that tent, hardly dressed, and old Jason comes running out of that tent, just, oh, man, you guys ever see? Yeah, you guys got to see this, man. You got to go over and look. Dude, like, we ain't even hardly talked to this dude in 2 days, like, since he did what he did and showed back up. But he's all out of, y'all, you ain't got to come over. You got to go. Dude's the biggest spider I ever seen in my life. And we're all just looking at this dude, and Joey just real quick looks over at him and goes, why don't you throw a rock at it? And bro, we were done. Why don't you throw a rock at it? We hit the ground. I hit the ground. I'm crying. Dude, I think that might be the only time I ever saw Christian laugh. Christian was laughing so hard he had snot coming out of his nose. Allison, we're dying. We are crying, and Joey's just sipping his beer. He just dropped the mic on this dude just out of nowhere, just laid down the hammer and put it on him. And old boy gets miffed, and him and his gal start packing up everything out of this tent and just throw it in his car. Well, where they're parked, there's there's rundown and stuff from the rain. It's all muddy, and he's pissed. He's clearly pissed off at us. We've been unreasonable for making that joke, right? He's just mad as hell at all of us. And his girl's trying to throw stuff in the back seat of his little car, and he's trying to put stuff in the trunk, and he slips and falls down behind that car. And we just, 1 minute we see him furiously shoving stuff in the trunk, next minute he's on the ground in the mud. We're on the ground again. We're done, bro. Now he's over there trying to take the tent down. He's cussing, and he's got mud all over him. He's trying to take this tent down. He's being a dick to his girl. Like, this poor girl, she didn't know what she signed up for this week, right? But he's being a jackass to her. He's taking it out on her. He's being ugly and curt and short with her, and she's kind of getting tired of his crap. Like, at some point, she just goes off and sits in the car. And he's trying to get this tent apart, and he can't get it apart. And this tent's just, you know, it's one of those pop tents, and the poles are laid down. He's fighting with it, and finally just pops it all apart and wads it up in a big wad and takes it back there and starts shoving it in that trunk again. And damn if this dude don't slip in that mud and eat shit again in that mud. And we can't help it. We can't help it, man. We're on the ground crying as he drives away. This is like Sunday morning. We're in tears. We're just done. We're crying. It's like Monday, because I have Monday off. We're just going to go back Tuesday. Well, we hear from Wendy, and they're going to go ahead and transport Kaylee. Man, now I really think it's Casey. I don't remember. They're going to transport her sister to the medical center down in Houston. Hey, buddy. What you up to? Come hang out for a little bit. And they're going to transport her over to the medical center in Houston, right? That's what they've decided to do. They're going to get her over there. Red Duke can work on her. All that good stuff. We decide, you know, her older brother's going to take the RV back to Houston. And of course, Cody and all them are going to go with him. We say, you know, party's over. Party's over. Wendy, of course, wants to go back to Houston and be with her sister so she can help take care of her and all that good stuff. Just motorbike, buddy. And we decide we'll just go home. We'll recover for work day the next day, you know. We'll just go back to work and see how all this shakes up. And I will tell you, Kaylee did end up having to have a bunch of surgeries. And let me let you down here. There you go, buddy. Kaylee had a bunch of surgeries, but they got her all fixed up, and she went on with her life. I think last I heard about her, she might have married some fella from Mississippi or something. Went on with her life. So Dr. Red Duke fixed her up, I guess. But she went through a bunch of crap to get it done. Did you get hair in my drink? Let's wrap it up there. We'll do some testimonials. How about that? Cash me outside. What's up, buddy? I'll go in the house a little bit. I'll get you some grub, brother. Get you fixed up. Give you some more of that chicken broth stuff you like. Let's do some testimonials. Here we go, man. Oh, you're back. All right, stay out of my drink. You got a testimonial for the wrecking yard, Sebastian? Oh, you're a good kitty. You're a good kitty. Yeah, you're a good kitty, buddy. You're a good old kitty. You stink. You smell like a moose's butthole, I'm guessing. Sorry, I got my comments here out of order. Let me see if I can get this figured out. Here we go. Oh, our old buddy, Gene Bond. At Gene Bond, thanks for another great one, JW. You aren't kidding about dealing with lowlifes. These are comments from last week. For you, if you check out before the end of the show, do me a favor, hit that like button. Subscribe to my channel. I appreciate it. I didn't do any sponsor copy this week. If you want to sponsor the show, reach out to us, jwlcomedy@gmail.com. We've kind of got some sponsorship we're trying to set up, but we're in the middle of signing papers, all that kind of stuff. But we got more spots. Gene Bond, thanks for another great one, JW. You aren't kidding about dealing with lowlifes. When I decided to semi-retire, I cut off the customers who weren't fun anymore. If I can't have fun, I might as well go get a factory job. Now life is good. My only worries is if my customers can deal with my fun schedule while working on their project. I am up. Well, that cut off. Let me go up here. Boy, I hate when it mixes them up like this. I don't know how I did that. Now life is good. My only worry is if my customers can deal with my fun schedule while working on their project. I'm upfront about my plans and priorities. And if that's okay with them, then we push ahead until everyone's happy and we all make a little money. Hell yeah, bub. Well, Gene, I told you this in the comments, bub. You're doing it right. That is the way to do it when it's time to back off a little bit, is get rid of the people who make the job difficult. Ooh. Let's go down to this next one here. At James Pot, 5141. We never had a lot growing up, but damn if my dad didn't do everything he could to give me anything and everything I needed and a lot of what I asked for in some shape, form, or fashion. Having no kids of my own, it brought a tear to my eye to hear you say thank you for a gift for the kids, and you're most certainly welcome, sir. Oh, you sent us some Hot Wheels. Hell yeah. You remind me a lot of my dad, and I think that's why I watch this religiously since day one after losing him in 2021. Well, I hate to hear you lost your pops, man. That's a hard blow for a young man. Yeah, we didn't have a lot growing up either, but we always had enough, I reckon. We must have made it here. You're clearly younger than me if I remind you of your father. That's the nicest way anybody's ever called me an old dude. I appreciate it, brother. Seriously. That's cool. I got a comment from somebody last week. Young man. I didn't realize he was such a young man, but he was asking me about the song I've been using in the credits. And I wrote all the lyrics to this song and I had this idea for it and I worked on it with an AI music program. And I just sort of created that out of thin air because I just wanted something to sound the way I wanted it to sound. And I wanted the lyrics to go the way I wanted them to go. I wrote that after visiting Kilgore. He mentioned some interest in having a copy of the song so he could play it. He was apparently a musician. I said, sure, man, send me an email or give me your email address and I'll reach out to you. And he sent me an email this week. He said, hi, JW, my name's Wade Papineau. Papineau? Papineau, maybe. Papineau. Wade, Papineau. He said, I'm the guy that wants to cover the new Wrecking Yard song. Thanks for offering to send me the file. I found you through Truck Astrology, and when I heard you were starting a podcast, I went ahead and tuned in. I'm a day oneer, as you say, and I've enjoyed it so far. If you like old country and bluegrass, you should check out my channel, Wade Papineau Music. And I'll put a link to that in the live chat, and I'll put a link to it in the comments. I'm 14, and I'm excited. Buddy, you got to make up your mind. And I'm excited to tell you I'm singing on the Grand Ole Opry stage in April of 2026. I don't want your ass in my face, so can you cover that up? Thank you. Sorry. Playing the Grand Ole Opry, brother, in April. That's one of my dream gigs. I couldn't be more excited for you. I think that's amazing. And I will I'll try to remember to do it tonight. If not, I'll get it out in the morning for you when I'm at my desk working. I'll send you that copy of that music file. And if anybody else wants a copy of that music file for whatever purposes, just leave me your email in the comments. Or if you don't want to do that, reach out to jwlcomedy@gmail.com. And we'll get you fixed up. Good old kitty. All right, let's wrap this thing and get up out of here. I think this cat's hungry. Finish that off. All right. Y'all, there's no big lesson this week. Other than this, I guess. If you break somebody's head with a rock, even by accident, maybe stick around the hospital and see if you can be of service. And if you're left in charge of a 19-year-old, don't let them knock back a dozen Jell-O shots. It's been a bad week. I reckon it'll get worse before it gets better, but in this age of instant outrage, sound bites, and half-truths, the only way I've found to keep your peace is patience. Just sit still till all the facts are in. We're all wired to be so reactive, but acting on that impulse hardly ever brings any good to anybody. I don't invest in political sides. I damn sure don't celebrate loss for anyone. What I do invest in is people. That's the best use of time I've ever found. My friends span every walk of life, and plenty believe things that I don't believe. That's fine by me. I care more about who they are and how they treat others than whatever banner they wave. I think it was, what's his name? Plato, right? He's one of them old Greek dudes. Plato said, he said something like, opinion is the lowest form of knowledge and empathy the highest. Now, I don't know if Plato was right about much, but I do know it takes a lot more work to be empathetic than it does to form an opinion. And maybe that's just my opinion, my own lowest form of knowledge, if you will. What I do know is that we got to figure out how to love each other. Because the powers that profit from our division grow stronger every day. And we can disagree about everything I just said, and I'll still love you. There's room at my table for everybody. And I will always be rooting for y'all. I'm JW, and I love you. If you excuse me, I got to head to the Cadillac dealer. They say love for your fellow man's in stock, but it's dealer only and comes with a $900 markup. Yo, cat. Ooh, what does that look? Did you just need some loving? A little loving for old kitty. I guess we ought to go get you some food. You want to tell everybody good night? Guess not. He's not being very vocal tonight. I would not just be a nothing. My head all full of stuffing. Heart all full of pain. Oh, that's good scratching, ain't it? That's good scratching, ain't it?